Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up? I'm Ben Carlos, and welcome to Raptors Over Everything, presented by Yahoo Sports Canada. Today, I'm blessed to be joined by a Toronto Raptors legend and a personal hero of mine. From doing play-by-play with baseball cards using his mom's broomstick, to staying up late, hiding under the blankets with a flashlight, transistor radio, and Sports Digest magazines, his childhood love for sports broadcasting has taken him everywhere, from DePaul University to the University of Michigan. He's been the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Bulls since 2008, but not before starting his NBA broadcasting career right here in the North back in 1998. Ladies and gentlemen, the only Raptors broadcaster to ever have his own bobblehead, Chuck Swirsky, ladies and gentlemen. Chuck, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I love your backdrop. Mine is boring, Ben. So I'm looking at the jersey. You know, where is the Garth Joseph jersey? Where is Milt Palacio? Where is Juan Dixon?
Oh man, you're bringing up all the names that. Oh, that's taking me way back. I still remember our last conversation when that Garth Joseph story. I'll never forget. And hopefully, I can channel his energy and infectiousness. For today.
He was awesome. That little window of period of time with Garth Joseph and the Toronto Raptors was priceless.
Chuck, I remember from our last conversation, one of the things we discussed was it's important to always love what you do and never be satisfied with where you're at. So, Chuck, I have to lead off with this question right here. Do you still get up at 5 a.m. every morning to browse U.S. sport pages? And if given the choice, would you rather do that or get up an hour earlier and pick up a copy of the Seattle PI?
Oh my gosh, we're going way back here. Well, I do get up at 5 in the morning. Yes, I do. And when I was a kid, as you know, I delivered papers for the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. It was the morning paper. I grew up in Seattle. And the afternoon paper, and I'm really dating myself now because these were the days we had a morning paper and an evening paper. And the evening paper was the Seattle Times. And so I got up 4 a.m. We'd go down to the corner on 167th. Guy would drop off a stack of papers. I'd have to roll the papers, put them in my backpack, and then get on my bike and sling it. Just like an outlet pass from Kevin Love.
So I'm assuming that your news resources have expanded over that time, of course.
Well, yeah, technology is amazing. I mean, but I still do here. I'm going to show you a little inside information, Ben.
Ooh, let's see.
So I still do. You know, a lot of these guys pay for stat services and have a company do their stats and trends. Not me. So this is for a game that we've got coming up with Detroit. Ooh, so okay. This is old school. I hope you can see this. And so this is, and like here, notes, everything. This is on me. I want to be held accountable. This is, I own it. If I screw up, I own it. But if I screw up, I want to do it on my terms because I want to make sure that I cover every detail. So I don't really pay for somebody else to do it and have some fancy stuff. It's just me, just the worst.
It's a testament to that how much you truly love it because you're still doing like the handwritten notes and everything like that. Because obviously, you know, with how advanced technology is getting and how easy it is to just like you said, just pay someone to take these notes for you. It goes to show how much you really love what you do, which is, you know, something that I aspire to do every day in my role. So Chuck, I recently traveled to Montreal this summer. And I found out that it's about a 5-hour drive, which coincidentally enough, is the same amount of distance it takes to get from Ann Arbor to Toronto. Chuck, have you ever taken a road trip from Ann Arbor to Toronto?
Just a few times.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Because remember when I got the Raptor job, I was doing the University of Michigan, Go Blue, had a great year in football. Right now struggling in basketball. But so my first job interview with the Raptors. And so they have an opening and like, you know, I reached out, they reached out. I went and I had an interview with the Fan 590 who owned the rights. They had just taken over, Ben, the radio rights to the Raptors. And I'm driving from Ann Arbor to Toronto. I think it was the 401, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. But, and all of a sudden, I'm entering the mouth of the city. And I had been to Toronto before, but really not to that degree. And it was, the traffic was like mind-boggling. And it was such a huge city. But I pulled in to the Fan 590. And like I'm about 30 minutes from my interview. And I had to enter a parking garage. And the parking garage was full. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll find another parking garage about a block away. Get in the car, boom, boom, boom. Parking garage full. I'm thinking, oh boy. I'm looking at my watch. I'm 20 minutes away from my interview. And one thing you know, Ben, like I'm very punctual. If I grew up in a naval family, my dad was a career officer. And if he said dinner's at 6, he didn't mean 6. He meant 5:45
yep.
or 5:30. And so finally I get in and like I go up the elevator and I have this interview and I'm thinking to myself, like, this is where I want to be. And I pulled a U-turn after the interview and drove back to Ann Arbor. So I've done that that trip many, many times.
And the rest, as they say, is history, because as many Raptors fans know, you spent 10 years with the Raptors
yep.
before, to quote LeBron, taking your talents down to not South Beach, but the Windy City.
Well, yeah, but that, a couple things, Ben. Number one, this wasn't for a situation where I was unhappy with the Raptors.
Of
and
course,
I hope fans know by now how mm-hmm. much I love the city, love the Raptors, love the organization, love who I work for. I had an unbelievable, I mean, the chain of command with Larry Tannenbaum and then Richard Petty and Tom Anselmi, I mean, it was unbelievable during that period of time in Raptor history. And, you know, Glenn Grunwald was our GM. And for the majority of time I was there, that we had, you know, kind of an interim with Wayne Embry and then Rob Babcock and then Brian Colangelo. But, I mean, it was awesome.
It was, I probably shouldn't have used the LeBron reference.
Yeah, there. No, we don't want to go there, Ben.
I totally forgot just how... it was very, not to the extent of the Vince Carter backlash when he left, but it was close. It was close. But yeah.
But I did a little history. LeBron's first 50-point game came against the Raptors.
Oh, this is true. This is true. This is what I love about you, Chuck. You always have the to throw it back a bit, the stump the worst facts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I still watch every Raptor game. True story.
I love it. I love it.
And I mean, I've been gone 14 years. I have seen every Raptor game because I get league pass. And so that some of you know, sometimes they say, oh, you got to release it. You got to let it go. Well, because there's something about, you know, like just the Raptors giving me an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And the way I pay them back is to keep like locked in. So for 24 seasons, 10 with the Raptors, 14 with the Bulls, I've watched every Raptor game.
It's the Canadians. It's the Canadian in you.
That Canadian spirit.
That Canadian heart. But yeah, a year later, after you left, the Raptors drafted one of our franchise's greatest players of all time, in DeMar DeRozan, who
yes.
is now a Chicago Bull.
Yep.
And recently passed Michael Jordan for most points in their first 16 games with the team. So Chuck, I have to ask, do you feel any kind of poetic justice from a certain decision your boss at WGN had you make in 1983?
Well, a few things. So I'm doing DePaul, and DePaul in the early 80s was really, really, really good. And I was doing play-by-play, and I was also doing the public address for the Bulls. This was pre-Jordan. And he comes to me and says, Chuck, you know what? You can't do both. You either have to do the public address for the Bulls, or you got to do play-by-play for DePaul. And there was something as a little boy going into as an elementary school, going into high school. You see, when you're in elementary school and you walk into a high school, you think it's bigger than life. Oh my gosh. Wow. This is high school. You know, when you're 10, 11 years old, 8 years old, whatever, you think high school is like the top of the mountain. So I go in with my little, you know, little tape recorder my mom got me as a kid. I'm going up the bleachers and sitting in the stands doing play-by-play as a kid. Well, all of a sudden, that kid now becomes a teenager. And I got really, really locked in. So I did was doing, here I am years later, doing college play-by-play. And so I gave up the PA job for the Bulls. Jordan gets drafted, and you know the rest of the story. But you know what, Ben? Truth of the matter is, if I had to do it all over again, I would have done it. Because without DePaul, I don't get the Michigan job. Without Michigan, I don't get the Raptor job.
Yep.
And so everything is aligned according to the Lord. And I you know, with DeMar DeRozan, I think it's fabulous. He's done a great, great job here. You know, he's serving the health and safety protocols. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he'll be out of that situation in a few days. But, I mean, he is a terrific, terrific human being.
Yeah, and honestly, as, you know, a big DeMar fan myself, it's so gratifying. I guess gratifying and satisfying.
Hey, we'll just combine the word. That's right.
Yeah, gratifying. That'll be our new word, actually. The most gratifying thing is seeing DeMar thrive with the Bulls. And it's almost, it's poetic in a way, because since you left right before his rookie year, and now you get to see him, you know, in his absolute prime. And so it's obvious what DeMar's impact on the court has been. As someone who is very close with the Bulls, and you get to cover them every day, and you get to see the inner workings of the team and whatnot, what's DeMar's impact been off of the court? And the more important question, Chuck, is DeMar DeRozan the best bowler in the NBA?
Well, he won the bowling championship, so I guess he holds the crown. You know, here's the story, Ben. Because we're still in a COVID, not to the severity of the pandemic of 2 years ago,
right?
But we're still in it, and we really don't get a chance to have a lot of communication and a connection with players.
Okay,
and that's really, really unfortunate because this business is a people's business.
100%.
You want to tell stories about DeMar DeRozan, you know, about Zach LaVine, about Lonzo Ball, about Alex Caruso. I'm mentioning names of the Bulls. And so that has been eliminated because of the health of players. And I get it. But it takes us away from getting to know the players like they once did pre-COVID, where you could walk up to a player and have like a 2 or 3 minute conversation, not with a microphone in their face or a notepad, just a conversation. So you can bond with a player. So a trust factor kind of lays the foundation for a sense of a bond, a professional bond between player broadcaster. And I hope we get those days back. I'm not sure we will, but we'll see.
That's fair. That completely makes sense. Have you guys ever been able to bond on any level about the obvious common Raptors connection?
Yes. Or? Yeah. I mean, you know, he knew who I was. And of course I know who he is, but you know, there's something about that fraternity with the Raptors. I just saw Kyle Lowry in Miami, and I've seen Kyle a number of times since I've left. And so when he sees me and I see him, you know, we give a little fist bump, how we're doing, whatever. And so, you know, I always had a saying. I told Derek Martin this. Remember Derek Martin? He's the one who saved the streak.
The three-point streak, yep.
Yes, in Dallas. And we were getting blown out. He jacks up the shot and goes down. I'm going crazy on the air. We're down by 18. There are onions, baby onions. Derek Martin keeps the streak alive. And the engineer in Dallas is looking at him and saying, what? But anyway, so Derek Martin, I ran into him, and he is with UCLA. At that time, he was doing color. And it's like we had picked up where we left off with him as a player. And those moments and memories kind of, you know, there's a connection.
It's crazy. And it goes to show just how strong that bond is of the Raptors fraternity, as you said. I want to get into more of that a little bit later. But first off, I want to go into the present Raptors and going from one player making an impact on his new team to another. I'm going to talk about Scottie Barnes.
Sure.
Because you were talking about how you've been watching, still following the Raptors. And Scottie has the most points by a Raptors rookie in their first 24 games since Vince Carter, a man you are very familiar with.
Yeah.
As someone who's covered Vince in his prime and is familiar with Florida State guys by proxy of your own fourth overall pick in Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
Is it too early to say that Scottie Barnes is the best Raptors rookie since Vince?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, there are a lot of rookies who played well for the Raptors. But, you know, I think Scottie Barnes is great. I think it was a terrific pick. Great pick by Masai and Bobby. And I would say this. I think Scottie Barnes is going to be a 12 to 15 year player in the NBA. That's how good of a player he's going to be. And you can tell already the thing that when I watch Scottie Barnes, let's put aside his skill set.
Yeah.
He's got something that you can't coach. And that is a motor that's full of sheer joy.
Yep.
And this is not fake hustle. I've seen players with fake hustle. This guy has like a sincere NBA DNA. He flat out loves the game and he gets after it. And so he's not running around where he's just, you know, trying to impress people or, hey, I've got, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I mean, this guy has a solid basketball IQ, which doesn't surprise me because of the Florida State program.
100%. And like you said, that's arguably the most valuable asset you can have as an NBA player, because like you said, that's something you can't teach. One thing Scottie is lacking, though, is an iconic nickname, something you've given multiple Raptor fan favorites in the past, whether it be Air Canada Carter, the Red Rocket, Apollo 33, just to name a few. So, Chuck, I'm going to put you on the spot.
I'll have to work on that. That's a tough question. That's probably out of my domain since I'm not the Raptor broadcaster and employee with the Raptors. Fair. I'll leave that to the crew, and they can probably decide that. But I'll tell you something. To this day, when I just saw Anthony Parker. Anthony is the assistant GM in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And we were talking the other day in Orlando about 18 Parkerville Court because he loved shooting the corner threes. And he loved that moniker that I put on him because, you know, under Sam Mitchell, hey, Anthony, go to the right corner. And there would be a draw and kick from TJ or, you know, or Jose called. And they'd throw the ball in the corner, boom. A three ball by 18 Parkerville Court, Anthony Parker, you know, and so anyway.
I completely forgot about that one. That's another iconic one. You're just adding to the list.
Well, no, I mean, like Mo Pete, remember when from technology, like this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is like so outdated. Mopeat MP3.
The MP3 download.
An MP3 player. Oh boy, those are going way back. That's like the BlackBerry. But MP3. And so it was, there you go. MP3 was Mo Peterson MP, and he would love to shoot the three. Mm-hmm. And so we would say that's an MP3. Or you can ring it up on your MP3. And so Mo loved it. And because I would never do anything that a player didn't buy in. And if a player didn't want anything, I'd say, okay, that's cool. But I would always run it by a player first. Sometimes they didn't understand, like, okay, like, what's 18 Parkerville Court? Okay, Anthony, it's your jersey number. You like that area on the floor. So I'm thinking, okay, like, you know, a little neighborhood here. Okay.
Oh, man. Look, Chuck, that's one of the greatest things about you, your creativity, just coming up with these iconic names that have been ingrained in the Raptors lexicon. My personal favorite, it's really simple, but it's one that I feel with the Raptors fan base has stood the test of time. CB4.
Yes.
Chris Bosh. Back in 2010, Chris Bosh infamously tweeted, "Where should I go next season and why?" So, Chuck, what was your answer to that question when the Bulls sent you to his door on the first day of free agency?
Well, the Bulls did send me, and I had a really good relationship with Chris the moment he arrived as just a kid, 1 year out of Georgia Tech. And we became close. Not close friends where I'm chilling at his place, but we had a very solid professional trust factor. He would invite me when the Raptors came in to play Dallas. He would invite me to his house for dinner with his teammates. He would include me. We would go out to dinner sometimes on the road. We'd have great talks. And so when he became a free agent, the Bulls said, "Will you do us a favor? Can you drop off an iPad," which had a lot of apps about the Bulls and about, you know, the city. And my daughter, when she was just, let's see, I'm talking, she was 5, 6 years old, would love to make cookies for players. She did it at the University of Michigan. She did it for the Raptors. And Chris loved my daughter's chocolate chip cookies. And so I went to Dallas. I went to his home and I delivered the iPad with a bunch of apps so he could get to know the Bulls. And he almost became a Bull. Mm-hmm. I kid you not. I think he was very, very close to signing in Chicago, but the lure of Wade and James and that whole group from their Olympic experience, that bond was so close. But yes, I did do that. And there was a litany of cars behind me. I had a rental car. I had a Yugo. And all of a sudden, these big stretch limos are pulling up, and I'm coming out of my little small, "Hi, Chris."
But I feel like if we ask Chris, the highlight of that free agency, even though he didn't sign with the Bulls, is probably those cookies because they sound incredible.
No doubt. I agree.
So from one former Raptor to another, you once said that Alvin Williams is one of the smartest Raptors you've ever interacted with.
Absolutely.
And the most underappreciated Raptor of all time. So does it come to a surprise to you that now he's in the booth doing the commentary for the Raptors? And what are your thoughts from someone who's been in the booth for quite a bit of time now?
Okay. Well, what, Ben, that is a great question, because Alvin was always very reserved. If you look at the players he played with, a number of them were outgoing, overshadowed him. He really wasn't on after a game, the A-list, where reporters would storm into the locker room and go immediately to Alvin's, you know, stall, so to speak. With the exception, obviously, of the game with Atlanta, where he had the triple-double. Ironically, and you can check on this, I think that game where he had the triple-double was on a Friday night, and you maybe your staff can look it up as we speak. I want to say 2001. It was a Friday night at home against Atlanta, and it's the same night Keon Clark blocked 11 shots. I don't know, but it was quite the night. The point being, I thought Alvin was always polite. I got to know Alvin, his family, everyone, and a wonderful family. Did I think he was headed to the booth? No. I thought he would go into coaching. I thought he would just kind of say, okay, I've got, you know, financial stability here. I'll pick and choose what I want to do. And I'll tell you what, I've heard him on the air. He's terrific. And so I am glad that he made this decision to go into broadcasting. And I really, really like him. I think he's really good. And I hope that when we're in Toronto, he has that game, because I'd love to see him.
And you know what? I feel like If Alvin knows those words coming from you, that would mean the world, because that's coming from a broadcasting legend yourself. So,
this was on Alvin, and he worked to the point to get 100%. That position. So I'm really, really happy for him.
Absolutely. Before we wrap it up, I got two more questions I want to ask you. From one broadcast legend to another, you spent your time, of course, with the legendary Jack Armstrong.
Get that garbage out of here.
You still got it. You still got it, Chuck. I'm going to bring up two guys.
Chuck, you got to have a pint. Jack, we're in the game. So what?
That actually is a perfect transition into. So I'm gonna bring up two places for you, Chuck, and I want to know what the significance they have with you and your long friendship with Jack. Fran's restaurant here in Toronto, and Dirty Nelly's in San Antonio.
Fran's. I mean, it's right there. I mean, it was across the street from the Fam 590. And we had sandwiches there. We had like just great, great talks. I don't even know if Franz is still there.
Oh, it's still there.
On Holly Street, I think, or close to it. I love Franz. By the way, they had unbelievable milkshakes.
Yes.
I'm just saying that right 100%. Now. Their milkshakes are to die for. Mm-hmm. And also onion rings. And I'm not an onion rings guy. They had really good onion rings. Okay, so then San Antonio. So we go in there. This is our first year, okay? And, you know, Jack loves Irish pubs. And his lifestyle is one where he loves to just, you know, move from, you know, pub to pub, say hello. He could run for mayor and win in a landslide right now, whether it's Toronto or if he went to Dublin. And I'm kind of like, hey, the game's over. Let me grab a sandwich. I'll go back to my hotel room and start working on the next game. Anyway, so on this night or morning, we go into San Antonio. And there is an Irish pub, Dirty Nelly's. And we're having a beverage. And Jack looks at the piano player and he tells the piano player basically, hey, take the rest of the night off. And Jack starts singing and he starts like taking over the room. And Sean Marks, now the GM of the Nets, he is a rookie on our club that year. He's in the pub and with another player. And so he's like, you know, loving all this. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And that's what I remember about that night.
Oh, it makes so much sense considering how much Jack still sings on air.
Yeah, well, I mean, the crowd loved Jack. They were actually putting more money in the glass for tips for Jack than the piano player.
It goes to show he got those pipes.
Hey, what are you doing Tuesday night? You're pretty good. Let me see. Raptors are in Golden State. Can't be here. Sorry. Bye.
Chuck, it's been an absolute blast speaking to you again. I want to wrap this up with one last question. The last
sure, time Ben, anything for you, Ben.
Oh, thank you, Chuck. You're the man. You're the man. The last time we spoke, you told me how the most important people in your life growing up were your parents and your grandparents.
Yes.
Since then, you've recently became a first-time grandfather. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I have to ask, what shoe shining discipline do you plan on passing down to your grandchild in the future?
I would say to love people, for inclusion, for the embracement of letting people know that you care. I think in our society, Ben, and I really mean this, we need to understand we are all in this together. It doesn't matter the color of skin, the origin of birth, your sexual orientation, your political views. We need to respect and be kind and serve others. And when we start doing this and remove the boundaries of humankind, where they're right now, just there's so many walls, when we can break those walls down and start the day by saying, what can I do to help you? Because if I serve you, I will ultimately serve myself by opening up my heart to others. And it starts with us. And if we can't lead, and if we can't show those qualities of humanity, humility, gratitude, selflessness, then how can we expect others to do that?
Amen, Chuck. And to quote a very, very wise and great friend of mine, it's always nice to be the light in someone else's storm.
That's right.
And with that, I just want to say, Chuck, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to talk with me again, because the last time we talked last year, you were the light in my storm because you were the first big interview that I ever had. And by you taking the chance on me, it's put me on this path that has thrust me into this role today. And it's given me the confidence to not only through my own personal belief in myself, but also, you know, to quote the good book, my belief in God, that with God, nothing's impossible. And
nothing.
Absolutely nothing. And with that, thank you again so much, Chuck.
All right, and I'll leave you, Ben, and I hope this makes the cut on your podcast, but I'll leave you with a Garth Joseph.
Ben, it's been a pleasure. Chuck, are we done?
And hey, that about does it. That wraps it.
It's right. Over.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen.